Appreciate that good singing, don't you? It's wonderful how the Lord, just sometimes in a right time, can give you a song. Isn't it a blessing? I know He meets our needs and He answers our questions in His Word. But sometimes in His song, He just ministers to our heart. Amen? Sometimes I feel like I don't even ask them what to sing. I just let them mind God. It's just amazing how many times they'll sing something and it's just exactly what I need. Amen? There's a very, very tender spirit in here this morning. I'm beginning to question the Lord on whether what I've got is right for the hour or not, because it's not very tender. But take your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter number 8 this morning. Jeremiah, right after the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter number 8. I wonder how many of you are familiar with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the what, somebody? The weeping prophet, the weeping prophet. The reason Jeremiah was weeping, because he did all this preaching, but nobody responded. Amen? It wasn't that the people weren't hearing the preaching. The people weren't doing anything with the preaching. Amen? He would preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, and nobody would do anything. And you know, sometimes to a preacher, that gets discouraging. If you teach a Sunday school class and you teach and you teach and you teach and it seems to be that nobody's getting any help, I mean, that gets discouraging. You wonder, am I even doing a good job? Is what I have to say even relevant? Is it a help? Because nobody seems to respond. And then as a preacher, you preach and you preach and you preach and nobody seems to respond or nobody seems to move. And sometimes that can get very discouraging.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I think about some missionaries on some fields are harder than others. Amen. Some people are harder to reach than others. And some people are in a hard place where they're serving the Lord. And it's hard to lead people to Christ because false religion has such a strong hold on their society and on their life. And these guys, I mean, brother, they forsake everything to go to a foreign mission field, and they go and they've got the idea, man, when I get there, I'm going to preach and that entire nation's going to fall on its knees. Everybody's going to get saved and baptized, and boy, I'm just going to... But buddy, when they get there, they find out that it's just not that way. They preach and they preach and they preach. They forsake their families and everything and travel to another part of the world, and they begin to preach and nobody seems to care. So Jeremiah was discouraged. Jeremiah was discouraged all throughout this book of Jeremiah about how God would tell him what to say. And when he would go to the people and say what God told him to tell them, they wouldn't do anything about it. Amen. Do you know what the pastor's job is? You know what the preacher's job is? To tell you what God told us to say.
Yes, sir.
Amen. To tell you exactly what God told us to say. I want you to look at one verse of Scripture this morning in Jeremiah chapter number 8. This is part of Jeremiah's message to Jerusalem. They're under siege by Babylon. And they're in a bad way. And Jeremiah says in verse number 20 of chapter number 8, now watch this, he says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, look at this next phrase, and we are not saved. He said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In other words, the wicked inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem kept thinking that deliverance would come soon, but it hadn't come yet. Harvest time had passed, summer had passed, but yet they were not delivered from Babylon. Now that's a sad statement regarding Jeremiah's people, but it has an application to the nation and the world that we live in today. People are coming to the end of another year of their life. People are coming to the end of another week. Today is the first day of the week. God has allowed you to live seven more days. Isn't that amazing? Wonder how many times you've come that close to death traveling down the highway this week. Probably hundreds. Amen. All it would take is a swerve of the wheel from the other side to hit you head on. God has allowed you to live another week. Amen. But yet there are some who are still not saved. People have heard the preaching of the gospel. They know all about Jesus. They know what Christmas is. They know what Easter is. They even know that they're sinners but have done nothing about it.
Amen.
Amen. It's amazing to me how that people who are lost without Christ and don't know God can sit under the preaching of the gospel, even at the end of the service, raise their hand and say, "Pray for me, I'm not sure that I'm saved," and then leave like they are.
Amen.
Amen. No telling how many times we've witnessed to somebody and they look you dead in the eye and say, "I know I need to be saved, but not today." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says today. Today is the day of salvation. Well, what day is that? Whatever day it is that you hear a clear presentation of the gospel and have an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. That's what today is. Amen? And I don't know who the message is for this morning, but you may have been sitting under the sound of my voice for weeks, but yet you're still not saved. He said the harvest is past, summer's ended, and yet we're not saved. Amen. Somebody ought to just trust Christ as their Savior this morning. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for the junior church. That's my prayer for the children's church. That's my prayer for the teen church, that somebody would come to know Christ as their Savior. Like in Jeremiah's day, the people had everything they needed. They had heard the message. They had heard the word from God, but they had failed to do anything with it. We have God's complete word. There's no new revelation. I mean, brother, he sealed her up right there. And we've got God's word. We've got the message from God. Amen. Well, I just don't know. Like Joel Osteen said on Larry King when he asked him, was Jesus the only way to heaven? And he said, "Well, Larry, I just don't know." Why don't you know, Mr. Osteen? We have God's word on it right here. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
We have God's word on it. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Amen. We have God's word on that. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
No other name given among men whereby you must be saved.
Yes.
Hey, listen to me. We have God's word on it. You know what? I had God's word on it for 19 years. For 19 years. When I was a baby, my mother read me Bible stories. How many of you remember the book? I think they still have it in doctor's offices today. The Bible stories with the pictures. We had one of those. My mama read me that to me every night. When I was 4 years old, we started riding the bus to White Oak Springs Baptist Church. I heard the gospel every week of my life. But I didn't do anything with it till I was 19 years old. Amen. I had what I needed. I knew the truth. Amen. How many of you believe you're a sinner? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Come on, that's every one of us. And if your hand ain't up, boy, have you got something to learn. The Bible still says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. All our righteousness, the Bible said, is as filthy rags. There just ain't nothing good about you. I'm sorry, and it's not my desire to offend you this morning, but there ain't nothing good about you.
Yeah.
Amen. We're wicked sinners. The Bible said the heart is wicked,
yeah.
Desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Amen. We have God's word on it. We all know, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
But yet, there are those who have done nothing with it. Listen, if you are saved this morning, this message ought to encourage you to reach somebody.
Amen.
And if you're not saved this morning, this message ought to draw you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I want to look at several reasons why these people were not saved. Summer, the harvest was past. Summer had ended, but yet they were not saved.
Number one, listen to me this morning. Give you three little thoughts right quick. Number one, they were just not concerned. They were just not concerned. They were concerned about everything else, but they were not concerned about what God said. They were concerned about what Egypt was doing or might do, but they were not concerned about what God said do. Amen. Are you listening this morning? We're living in a day with a lack of concern.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, people just don't care.
Amen, brother.
Are you listening to me? People just don't care. We were in the country of Australia a few weeks ago. You know what they said? They said 5% of all of Australia's population go to church of any kind. And the majority of that 5% are Catholic. What are you saying? They just don't care. They just don't care.
Amen.
Would you agree with me that there's probably more on the lake this morning than there is in the house of God?
Yeah.
Amen. Would you agree with that? You know why? They just don't care. There is no concern. We know Jesus is coming back one day, and we know He's going to call His church out of here, and we know we need to be saved. We know we need to trust Christ as our Savior, but we live like we've got forever to do it.
Amen.
Amen. There's no concern. You know, this world is concerned with some of the most foolish things. Amen. They're all up in the air where they're not a spotted owl's got a place to build a nest. Cut the tree down, build a house, let him build a nest in the attic. That bird will adapt.
Amen.
Amen. I guarantee you that bird, he'll build a nest on top of a light post. He'll find a place. Amen. Build me a house. Hallelujah. It's sad when we're more concerned about a tree.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Than we are the soul of men and women.
Yes, sir.
It's sad when we're more concerned about a whale washing up on a beach somewhere. Amen. Look, man, that's the chain of life. Buzzards has got to eat too. Amen. That's just how it goes, man. But we're more concerned about all that junk. We're more concerned about the environment. Amen. Greenpeace. I hope we ain't got no tree huggers here this morning. If there is, we'll burn a styrofoam cup in your honor. Amen. And spray hairspray in the air. We'll shoot hose. Hurry up, Lord. Come get us. Amen. Let's burn up the ozone. They're more concerned. Man, look, and I know we need to be concerned about some things.
Yeah.
This oil leaking in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Have you noticed over the last few weeks, that's all we've heard? That's all we've heard. The oil. And they're showing these poor little animals covered in oil washing up on the beach and these tar blobs or whatever they call it. I mean, man, yeah, we ought to be working on that. But just imagine if we put the effort as a nation, if we put the effort as Christians, as the government has put the last few weeks into stopping that oil leak, what if we put that kind of effort, that kind of energy, that kind of money into reaching men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey man, it just shows where our concern is. Hey man, I don't want our oceans full of oil, don't get me wrong. We ought to be concerned about that. But what we ought to be more concerned about is whether or not our children are going to heaven when they die, whether or not our family is saved, whether or not they know Christ as their Savior, whether or not they have a testimony of being a child of God. That ought to be our greatest concern. The average parent in America, you know what the greatest concern is concerning their children? Where they'll go to college. Where they'll go to college. I think it's good for a kid to go to college. I do. I think an education's good. But listen, it is not my desire to have a smart kid in hell.
Yeah.
My greater concern, I want him to have an education. I want my girls to be educated. I don't want stupid kids. But I'd rather have a stupid saved kid than a smart lost kid.
Yeah.
Somebody talk to me right there.
Amen.
And my kids ain't stupid. Narrow one of them. They're smart. They take after their mama. They all make good grades in school. And I'm glad Levi's got college education. Ashley's got some college. And Katie's got a little college. And they all got more education than I do. But I'm glad they got an education. But more than that, I'm glad they got saved. And I'm glad they know Christ as their Savior. And I'm glad they're going to heaven when they die. And I'm glad when I get there, I won't look around and my children not be there. You know why that is? Because I put that concern first in their life. Amen. There's no concern. There's no concern. Let me tell you how bad it's getting in America. some pervert, and I pray that he's somehow just flipping through his radio this morning and hits this spot right here. Some pervert changed our sign around the other night and put one of the most vulgarest, most blasphemous things about God I've ever seen in my life. They don't care. Amen. This world don't care. We go out and knock on doors, they don't care. I want you to know this morning, there's somebody right here in Villarica, Georgia that cares. We care whether or not you die and go to hell. We care whether or not you spend eternity in the lake of fire. You say, well, I just don't believe in hell. You will your first, second there. You'll be the firmest believer. You'll be like that rich man. The Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. He said, I'm in torment in this flame. Yes, if you die without Christ, you will burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
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 Why would anybody choose that? We witness to people and they say, I say, man, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? Hell if I don't change my ways. How many times you heard that one, Brother Freddie? Go to hell if I don't change my ways. I heard this statement on television. I wrote it in the back of my Bible. This lady on a weight loss thing was training this woman, and the woman wanted to quit. And here's what she said to the woman, screamed right in her face, nose to nose. She said, why would you choose failure when success is an option? And I thought, wow, what a statement.
Yeah,
why would you choose hell when heaven is an option?
Yes,
why would you choose torment when glory is an option?
Yes,
why would you choose weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth when singing and dancing and rejoicing on streets of gold is an option this morning? I'm glad I took the option, ain't you? Hallelujah. It's good to know I'm saved. They were not saved because there was a lack of concern. They weren't worried about it.
Amen, brother.
They weren't worried about it. They had become hardened to it.
Amen.
When Ashley was little, and Ashley's probably our most tenderest, or tender heartedest, I can't get the right word, our most tender hearted, there you go, our most tender hearted child.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a tender heart. She's one of those kids you never had to whoop her. You just holler at her real loud and she'd wet herself. I mean, she'd just tender-hearted. But she'd come and she'd listen to her daddy. She'd been hearing her daddy preach all her life, and she'd hear her daddy preach a message like this and preach a message about hell. And boy, she'd lay awake and tremble and cry at night, scared to death. You know what it did? It worried her. Hell worried her. It no longer worries us anymore, especially in America with Hollywood. We've been desensitized. Amen. You know how I train my horses? You know how I train those horses to do things? We desensitize them. If they're jumpy over a certain thing and spooky over a certain thing, we put them in front of that certain thing over and over and over and over and over till finally it just don't bother them no more. So Hollywood has showed us all the gore. It showed us all the demons. It showed us all the hellish junk over and over and over and over and over and over. Then when a man of God gets up and preaches about it, no problem. It doesn't, hell ought to worry us. Amen. You got family members. You ought to be worried about their soul.
Amen.
Amen. Does hell still worry you? Hell still worries me.
Amen.
Hell still worries. Not that I'm going. I know I'm not.
Amen.
Brother, I may not be a whole lot, but I'm saved.
Amen.
I know Christ is my Savior. I can take you to the place. I can tell you about the time. I can tell you what He done in my heart. Amen. I can take you to the Word of God and show you what I did and tell you what He did. I know that I'm saved, but I'm worried about others that hear the gospel and walk out. You're accountable this morning to what you do with the gospel when you hear it. Amen. To whom much is given, much will also be required. If you've heard the gospel and reject it, oh God, please have mercy on you. Amen. I wonder how many times. Think about it, seriously. How many times you heard the gospel before you received it? How many times? 100? Some people get saved the first time they hear it. I didn't. How many of you didn't? How many of you heard it for years and years? Ain't God gracious?
Yes, sir.
Ain't God merciful?
Yes, sir.
He could be like a tough, strict parent who says, I told you once and that's all I'm going to tell you. Now's a punishment.
Yeah, bro.
Amen. But he didn't. He told you again and again and again and again and again and again. And he let you hear it over and over and over. But one day it'll be the last time that you'll ever hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll be the last time that you'll hear Jesus loves you and Jesus saves and he died for you. It'll be the last time. It'll be the last time. Are you concerned about hell this morning? I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about people that'll die and go to hell without God. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about those children out there in the gym this morning who come from bad homes. Mom and daddy don't care about them. Some of their parents wouldn't care if we didn't even bring them back today. If we didn't show back up here in a little while, they wouldn't call to even see where they was, would they, Brother Rob? They don't care. I'm concerned about them kids. We've got them about 2 hours a week. Oh, Lord, please let them hear the gospel and be saved. We may not fix their home situation. We may not fix their parents' situation. But we can fix their soul situation if we can preach to them Jesus and Him crucified and risen and coming again. Amen. We ought to be concerned about hell. We ought to be. There was no concern. And then there was no confession. There was no confession. Do you know all they had to do was repent? Some people have taken repentance out of salvation. I don't believe in that. Amen. I believe before you can get the fact that you're a sinner fixed, you got to realize you am one.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
You got to realize you are.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, how do I know I'm a sinner? How you know you got the flu? You have symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Before a doctor can ever tell you what's going on, you have to tell him how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Well, it's hurting here and my neck, my throat's all swollen up, and my fever's 103. You got the flu. I mean, that's what they'll tell you. I'm aching all over. Oh, you got the flu. Why? Because you got the symptom. How do I know I'm a sinner? Oh, because you sin. That's the symptom. Amen. Amen. It is showing up all over us, ain't it? Hallelujah. Some of us are broke out in sinner pox. Amen. Yes, sir. All they lacked was confession. That's it. That's it. That's all they lacked to be saved. That's all they lacked for deliverance was saying, yes, God, you're right.
Yeah.
Remember the little lady with what was the deal? My mind just went blank. Oh, the Lord called her a dog. Was it her daughter that was sick? Yeah, it was her daughter that was sick, and she came to the Lord, and she was a Gentile, and the Lord told her that called her a dog, man, said the dogs don't eat the children's bread or whatever. And that lady answered him, said, well, even the dogs can eat the crumbs out from under the table. You know what she said? The Lord said, you're a dog. And she said, you're right, but can I have some crumbs? Amen. Hey, we ought to come to God and say, you're right. I'm a sinner, and I'm on my way to hell, but can I have some grace, and can I have some mercy, and can heaven be mine one day? Amen. Man, there ought to be a place where we confessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
I made a profession of faith when I was 6 years old, but I didn't confess.
Yeah.
Amen. I didn't know I was a sinner. Oh, I said what they told me to. I said it in my little prayer, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I had no idea what that was.
Amen.
Amen. I read, I guess Elena's out, Sister Elena Parker, she graduated yesterday and had a great, beautiful graduation. But did any of you guys that were there, did you read her testimony inside there? I read her testimony, and I thought that was pretty cool. Here's what she said. She said when she was little, her mom and dad came to Happy Valley Baptist Church. She said, I think she said she was three, something like that, 2 or 3 years old. And she said every night, every Sunday, her daddy would preach in our children's church. She said every Sunday she'd hear her daddy preach about salvation and heaven and hell. And every night before she went to bed, when she prayed her prayer, she asked Jesus to save her. Every night. How many of you know you don't have to do that every night? But she did. That's all her little heart knew. She was as saved as I am. Amen. No doubt about it. She said, but one day, I realized what it really was. Woo. I realized I was a sinner. And I confessed it to God. Amen.
Amen.
There's got to be a concern, but then we've got to take that next step. There's people all over the place that realize, everybody in this room raised their hand and said, yes, I'm a sinner.
Yes, sir.
That's not enough.
Come on, brother.
That's not enough. We've got to go that next step forward and confess that thing before God. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Has there been a place where you've come and confessed that thing to God? That you're a sinner and you need Christ as your Savior? I did this just a few weeks ago, but I'd love to do it. One of these days I'm going to. I'm just going to take the whole service and make everybody in the church tell me when you got saved.
Amen.
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 That bothers some of you.
Yeah.
Amen. You know why? Because you couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't. Listen, I'm not one of those that believe you got to remember exactly what time it was and what the exact date was, but I believe you better be able to tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You better be able to tell me about it. You better be able to say I was here and this was going on, and you better have a testimony about your salvation. Because if you don't have one about it, if you just say, "Well, I don't remember when it was or what was going on, but I know I'm saved," I doubt that. And I'm not here to judge you this morning, but something that great happened in your life, you'd remember it. All your sins get forgiven. Your name gets written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You change directions automatically from headed to hell to headed to heaven. You'll remember that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You'll be able to say, "I was at such and such and so priest," or "I did this and I did that and I got down on my..." You'll be able to tell me about that.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Can you tell me about it this morning?
Amen.
Is there a time of consciousness and concern about your soul?
Amen.
And is there a time where that concern was heavy enough that you took it to God and said, "God, I don't want to die and go to hell"?
Amen.
Amen. I'll be honest with you. When I got saved, Brother Eric, heaven wasn't even on my mind. That was the farthest thing from my mind. I wasn't even thinking about, "Oh, I want to go to heaven when I die." I just didn't want to go to hell. I realized I was wicked and I didn't have God in my heart.
Amen,
and I needed Him as my Savior.
Yes, sir,
brother. That was all. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have cared at the moment if heaven was even in the equation. As long as I didn't have to die and go to hell.
That's right.
Amen. As long as I didn't have to die and go to hell, brother, that'd been good enough for me. What happened? I realized I was a sinner. What I realized was I deserved hell.
Yeah.
And I deserved that punishment.
Amen.
Amen. And if Jesus was my way out of it, I was getting to Him as fast as I could.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I did. And He did.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
There was a lack of concern. There was a lack of confession. Listen, I think there's a lack of confession. Not just in the world, but in here. In our churches.
Yeah.
Amen. Every now and then, you know what we need to do? We just need to get right with God. Amen. Every now and then we just need to come clean with God. Amen. You take a bath every day, I hope. Huh? Why? Because you're dirty. You've been out in the world all day and you got some of it on you. Is that right?
Amen.
You ain't even got to go out in the world. All you got to do is walk around in your yard in this weather for 30 minutes. And it's not getting on you, it's coming out of you. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. I took a shower before I went to that graduation yesterday, put my suit on, walked out the door, went to the graduation, come home. I felt like I needed another one. I was soaking wet.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, if we worry about cleaning this outside every day, what about this inside every day?
Amen.
Confession's not just for lost people who need to be saved.
That's right.
Confession's for saved people who still sin.
Amen.
And mess up every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, brother.
Come on. Talk to me.
Amen.
Amen. There was a lack of concern. There was a lack of confession. Listen, and lastly, they had this problem. Their hope was in the wrong conqueror. Amen. You know what they were expecting? They were expecting Egypt to bail them out. Listen, if our hope's in the government, our hope's in the wrong conqueror. Amen. If our hope's in Obama, our hope is in the wrong conqueror. Amen. They ain't a government official on the face of this earth can fix your sin problem. Amen. They can't even fix your financial problem. How they gonna fix something they can't even touch?
Amen.
They can't fix the economy.
Amen.
They sure not gonna fix the spiritual darkness of our nation.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But he's the right conqueror. You know what the Bible said? We are more than conquerors. Somebody finish that verse for me. Through him that loved us. You know who that him is? It's Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors, not on my own. Hey, I can't trust in my works. It ain't going to get it done. I could have said when I was 19 years old and realized I was lost, okay, Lord, I'm on my way to hell, but what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm going to start doing right.
Yeah, come on, bro.
You know what the Lord would have said? Won't cut it.
That's right, bro.
Won't cut. Well, I'll just go down there and join the church. Wrong conqueror.
Amen.
Wrong conqueror.
Yes.
I'll go down there and drive a bus and go pick up boys and girls. Wrong conqueror.
Amen.
Well, wait a minute. I'll go through the baptistry and I'll get baptized. Wrong conqueror. Water won't save. It's still the blood that saves from sin. Hallelujah. Thank God you've got to get to Calvary where the blood comes out. Amen. Hey, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
I'm glad I got the right conqueror this morning. I'm glad I'm serving one who conquered sin once and for all. You know what he said? You know what he said? Right before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. He said, Father, I've completed the work which thou gavest me to do. What was the work God gave him to do? Pay your debt. And pay my debt.
Amen.
And at Calvary, he marked her paid in full. It's already done. It's already done. The victory's already won. All we got to do is receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, when you got saved, he didn't have to go to Calvary and die again. He didn't have to go shed not one more drop of blood just because you wanted in.
Amen.
It was finished at Calvary. Every time a poor old sinner crawls up on an altar and says, God, I need to be saved, he don't say, wait a minute, I got to go shed some more. It's still flowing, brother, and it's still saved because we got the right conqueror.
But
you know, religion's never kept anybody out of hell. Religion's never kept not one living soul out of hell. Not one. But Christ has kept thousands and millions. Amen. Buddha's never kept nobody out of hell. Never. Muhammad, he ain't never kept nobody out of hell. Not ever, not one time. Amen. You know what? The pious Pope sitting on his throne in Rome this morning, he ain't never kept nobody out of hell. He ain't. You know what? They make a big deal about Mary, and Mary was a great woman. Ain't no doubt about it. God chose her to bear his son. She was a great woman. She ain't never kept nobody out of hell. Here was her opinion on it, about the last thing she ever said. Whatever he says, do it. That's what she said. She pointed at her son, Jesus, and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There's Mary's advice. You know what he said? He said, we ought to be saved. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, Mother Mary said, whatever he said, there's the one that'll get you out of it right there. Whatever he said, there's the one with the answer right there. Whatever he says, just do that, and you'll be all right. Amen. Why? Because he's the right conqueror. He's the right conqueror. Hey, I don't know who the emperor or the Caesar or the political leaders of that day was, but they never kept anybody out of hell. We've had some great presidents. We have. We've had some great presidents. This country has seen some of the greatest men who ever lived.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I believe that. Thomas Jefferson. Oh, man, read about that cat's life. I mean, these dudes were awesome. George Washington, on up to Abraham Lincoln. They were some great men.
Yes, sir.
And you know, all those great men were great men of faith. But in of themselves, they never kept nobody out of hell.
That's right.
They might have told somebody how to.
Yeah.
Amen. But they didn't. You know what? I ain't never kept nobody out of hell. Huh? You know why? And my government ain't the right conqueror. Amen. And I'm not the right conqueror, but I'm glad Jesus is the right conqueror. Amen. We can conquer the issue of our salvation. If we'll get concerned about our own soul, we can conquer that thing. If we'll come and confess what we are to God, amen? You know what the Lord did? And I'm done. I'm going to quit. Brother Todd, if y'all want to get us a song ready. You know what the Lord did throughout this Bible? He changed people's names.
Yeah.
I preached on that one time. He changed people's names.
Amen.
Do you know when he did it? After a realization in their lives of who and what they were. You see, Jacob's name meant cheater or con. And God asked him one night, said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name's Jacob." He said, "No." He said, "Not no more." He said, "Here on out, we're just going to call you Israel, Prince." Amen. He did it. He changed people's name when they realized who they were. What about old Simon? Simon, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, "Thou art the Christ." He said, "With you, Peter, from here on out, brother." Amen. Amen. Saul of Tarsus, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" Well, first of all, we're going to change your name from Saul to Paul. Huh? I'm glad that night when I came and I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner." He said, "Well, once you get out from under this pine tree, your name's not going to be sinner no more. It's going to be saint." Amen. Some of us ought to get a name change this morning. You know what happens to a young lady when she gets married? She gets a name change. Amen. When I got espoused unto him, he changed my name. Thank God. Is there a concern about your soul or even the soul of others? Has there been a place of confession in your life? Are you trusting the right conqueror? He's still a great conqueror this morning. He's never lost a battle, not one. Let's stand our feet all over the house this morning.
Oh, listen carefully. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Ain't nobody looking around this morning. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I've just really become concerned about my soul, where I'll spend forever and ever after I die. I don't want to die and go to hell. And if I could really get this thing settled, I'd like to. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. Preacher, I need to get this thing settled about my soul. Please pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell." Anybody like that? You just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anybody? Brother Eddie, I know I'm saved. But boy, I've lost a lack of concern about the souls of others. Even people that I love and that I call my family, I don't witness to them like I ought to. I don't pray for them like I ought to. Preacher, pray I'd get more concern for their soul. Ought to be hands up all over this building. Mine too. Thank you. Thank you. Preacher, pray for me there'd be more confession in my life. Preacher, there's some things I need to tell God about. Please pray that he'd help me with that. Just slip up your hand, or it'll be all of us. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to you this morning. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, your power. We thank you for these people, God, that you've sent our way this morning. Lord, I pray for every hand that was raised. But Lord, a long time before anybody raised their hand, you saw all of our hearts. And I pray you'd deal with us accordingly. Lord, don't let anybody leave today saying no to the gospel. Lord, help us all to leave with a greater concern for the souls of men. Lord, a greater concern about our own sin and foolishness. Lord, help us. God, I pray, Lord, that we'd just come clean with you daily. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to be our great conqueror and our King. Lord, we love you. Have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.